WDR Oshkosh and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Lionel Moyes. Fallout after classified documents were found in former Vice President Mike Pence's home.
Speaker Kevin McCarthy implying that President Biden did something illegal to have a Senate classified document in his home.
I do not understand how a U.S. senator can take a classified document out of a skiff if they're not stuffing it in their pants or somewhere else. I'm just not sure of that.
Speaker McCarthy has said little about the classified documents former President Trump and now former Vice President Pence had in their homes. Andy Field, ABC News, Washington.
House Speaker Kevin McCarthy is kicking two longtime Democrats off the powerful House Intelligence Committee, Representatives Adam Schiff and Eric Swalwell. New York Republican Congressman George Santos has filed amended campaign disclosures that suggest at least $625,000 in campaign loans he previously reported as self-funded might not be. They no longer include a box checked that they were personal funds from the candidate. This is ABC News. Mass shootings continue to devastate communities. The U.S. has been averaging 600 plus for the last 3 years. Now there's a new push on Capitol Hill for tougher gun laws. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre condemning the back-to-back mass shootings in California.
Over the last two decades, more school-aged children have died from guns than on-duty police officer and active duty military combined.
Officials in Spain have called a second emergency meeting of domestic violence experts in less than a month after murders. Six women and a young girl were killed since the beginning of this year. The country is considering a plan to let abused women know if their partners have been convicted of violent offenses. The Carter Center says cases of guinea worm disease have reached an all-time low, with just 13 human cases reported last year. Former President Carter has pushed to eradicate the disease through work from his foundation. When they took lead in 1986, there were 3.5 million cases. Lionel Moyes, ABC News.
Are you an experienced maintenance technician? Do you wish you felt valued at your current position? If you answered yes to both questions, then say yes to PepsiCo of Oshkosh. PepsiCo rarely has maintenance openings. Most employees have been there more than 14 years, but PepsiCo is hiring right now and has three openings for experienced maintenance technicians. As a global top employer 3 years in a row, PepsiCo pays way above average, and you can't beat the benefits. Free continuing education, tuition reimbursement, and an account balance pension plan, legit free money from the company to you. Plus, PepsiCo is committed to reducing the global carbon footprint through a PEP-positive corporate responsibility program. You're invited to the PepsiCo Job Fair on Wednesday, February 1st from 8 to noon, Thursday, February 2nd, 1 to 5 at the PepsiCo plant, 2541 West 20th Avenue in Oshkosh. Find more information at PepsiCoJobs.com or call 1-800-236-3720. You are never far away from your favorite local radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app, and we invite you to get social with us by following our network's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Go by any construction site in Wisconsin, you're going to see a lot of Michael's trucks. Since 2014, they've had more than $1 billion worth of contracts with the state government.
A large part of those coming with Foxconn without any results in that area.
Do we want a governor who might be giving his brothers the contract? I think he needs to answer that before the election.
We'll just kick that one down the road. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it, but of course, Michael's corporation would get to build that said bridge.
Listen, Monday through Friday from 2 to 3, it's Dueling Tangents.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. What's in mind of Gina Beauclair?
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll keep woke in the afternoon.
What's in mind of Andrew of Detroit?
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Mama, what does the chicken say?
Chicken. Oh, okay.
Wolf?
Oh, a wolf.
What about the tiny dog? Cat. Owl. Dolphin? What does the turkey say?
Whale.
Do the giraffe.
Giraffe, really? Okay. Giraffe.
You're not going to get it all right. Just make sure you nail the big stuff. Like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Get it right.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected on the Civic Media Network. CivicMedia.us.
Keeping the Fox Valley connected, informed, and entertained. This is Civic Media.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Well, happy Tuesday. What a day. There's a lot going on in the world today that we can talk about. I want to start out this morning, or this afternoon if you're on the East Coast, I guess, about this is not how Americans should die or should have to die. I'll tell you about that in just a moment. It has to do with a sad situation down in Florida. Also, did the old Republican Party think that the new Republican Party would do the extreme part out loud? There's a fascinating op-ed out by David Brooks and Brett Stevens, two of the New York Times' probably the two most well-known conservative commentators on that in that newspaper, kind of scratching their heads about what happened to our Republican Party. It's really kind of humorous. I'll share that with you. In the second hour of our program, there is now a new television network. They are calling themselves the Hispanic Fox News, targeting Latinos. Millions and millions of dollars being poured into this in anticipation of the 2024 election. Hispanics are the second largest demographic group in the United States behind whites. So, you know, that's a big deal. We'll talk about that. Also, did Putin and Trump conspire with the FBI's New York field office? It's starting to look like it, this FBI agent who was just arrested. I'll tell you about that in some detail in the second hour. And Joe Manchin has now endorsed a proposal championed by progressives for two decades. Peter DeFazio, in fact, the former congressman here from Oregon is the guy who started this thing. Is Biden going to seize the opportunity to reinforce Social Security? We'll see. We'll talk about that in the second hour of the program. In the third hour of the program, Elizabeth Warren is out saying that if Donald Trump hadn't done his tax cuts, there would be no need to raise the debt ceiling for the entire 4 years of the Biden presidency. I'll give you the details on that in the third hour of their program. Also, a new way to replace Kyrsten Sinema with Ruben Gallego right now. This is an absolutely brilliant idea that was floated by one of the readers over on Daily Kos. And I'll share it with you in the third hour. It's brilliant. And also in our third hour, why Turkey won't let Sweden and Finland into NATO. And of course, you know, we can speculate about other reasons as well, you know, beyond this this whole, the current excuse, which is, you know, oh, my God, they burned a Koran in Sweden. How dare they? But we'll get into those details in the third hour. But I wanted to start out. This is a story that's not much in the news at all. And I think it should be, frankly. I think it's a bigger story than most people are giving it credit for. Jerry and Ellen Gilland were married in 1969. That was just 2 years before Louise and I got married. They bounced around Florida for a few years, living in a couple of different cities. Ended up in New Smyrna Beach, where they were living when Jerry got sick. I mean, like, really sick, as in terminally ill. He was going to die. They tried to handle his illness at home, but around Christmas time, sometime in December anyway, Jerry started going downhill fast. He told his wife he couldn't handle the situation and planned to shoot himself to end it when the pain got too bad. And, you know, after 52 years of marriage, she understood. But finally, they couldn't handle the situation at home. Jerry was admitted to the Advent Health Hospital in Daytona Beach and put on in a room on the 11th floor, which was filled with people just waiting to die. He continued to deteriorate, and finally last weekend, he asked his wife, Ellen, to bring their gun into the hospital so he could shoot himself. And she agreed. She brought in the weapon, but Jerry was so weak he couldn't lift his head. He couldn't lift his own hand to put the gun to his head. So in what was apparently a final act of love and compassion after all those years together, she fired the shot for him that ended his misery. Her plan, she told police, was then to kill herself because she had just committed a mortal sin, according to their church, and a felony, according to the state of Florida. But she just couldn't do it. She couldn't bring herself to kill herself. Meanwhile, alerted by the hospital that a patient had been shot on the 11th floor, the Daytona Beach Police SWAT team of men armed with automatic weapons and body armor crashed the door, threw in flashbang grenades, and shot Ellen with a painful metal-filled plastic-coated non-lethal round, sometimes euphemistically called a beanbag. Jerry's wife, Ellen, is now in jail without bond, facing charges of first-degree murder. No husband, no family, no friends, alone, miserable, no doubt terrified, and in pain from being shot by the police. This is not how Americans should die. But Jerry and Ellen lived in Florida, which is run by the Republican Party, and death with dignity is not an issue that the Republican Party is willing to entertain. It's considered every bit as blasphemous in Florida as expanding Medicaid to provide health care to low-income people. Louise and I have talked about how we would deal with a crisis like Jerry and Ellen faced. The difference between them and us is that we live in Oregon, where the law allows my physician, with the concurrence of one other doctor, to prescribe a little bottle of orange-flavored barbiturates strong enough to put me to sleep, and then after about an hour, stop my heart and my breathing. It's the same way we have lovingly and tearfully said goodbye to at least a dozen cats and dogs over the last 50 years that Louise and I have been married. Dying on your own terms when you're miserable and in pain, just a step short of that eternal portal seems, after all, to be the humane thing to do, the dignified thing to do, to leave life surrounded by friends and family. You know, the final act of a lifetime performance on this earthly plane conducted with quiet peace and calm resolve, without fear. Oregon was the first state to put into place death with dignity in 1994. It was done by a citizen initiative, by ballot initiative. That was challenged, and so they put the ballot initiative up again in 1997. The second time, it won by an even larger margin. Then Republicans appealed, and it was taken to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, which said, no, it's fine. And so then the federal government appealed it to the Supreme Court, and during the Bush administration, the George W. Bush administration, they went after us. And in 2006, the Supreme Court affirmed Oregon's death with dignity law. So now we've got laws like this in Washington State, California, Maine, Colorado, New Jersey, New Mexico, Hawaii, the District of Columbia, Montana, and Vermont. The one in Montana, by the way, was not passed by the legislatures. It was done by the Montana Supreme Court, which ruled that it was legal. 73% of Americans, according to the Gallup organization, favor death with dignity legislation. Oregon reports that about a third of the patients who are prescribed life-ending medication end up not using it. We had about a decade ago, we had a fellow on this program who was terminally ill, who had been prescribed that bottle of barbiturate. And he told us on the air that, you know, it gave him peace. It gave him confidence that, you know, he could deal with anything that was coming because he always had an out. And we later learned that he didn't even take the drugs. He died of his illness. Every American, in my opinion, should have access to death with dignity. Now, keep in mind, the last months of life in America are typically the most expensive months of your entire life. An enormous amount of money is made by the health industry, by the hospital industry, by the hospice industry, which has exploded. It's huge now. They've got their own lobbyists in Washington, D.C., out of those last few months of life. And they, along with the Catholic Church, which considers suicide, you know, a mortal sin, and has a large lobbying presence in Washington, D.C. as well, they have aggressively fought this kind of legislation. And the Republican Party has bought in. I mean, you know, they basically take money from all these folks. Canada has legalized death with dignity. Spain just legalized death with dignity. They are now the sixth developed country to do so. And in Montana, there's a group of Republican legislators. Well, actually, they've got a couple of Democrats, too, conservative Democrats, who are trying to actively overturn that state's death with dignity law or the status. Meanwhile, down in Florida, it looks like the state is going to send Ellen Gilland to prison for the rest of her life. Life should not have to end this way. I encourage you to check out deathwithdignity.org. It's a great organization. They've got a form that you can send to your state legislators if you live in a state that does not have death with dignity laws, telling them that you would like to see it happen. So what do you think about this? And, you know, about all the other issues of the day that I have mentioned here. We'll be right back. I've got to tell you about this new Spanish language Fox News that's coming along, too. Stick around.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
It's 16 minutes past the hour. We'll be right back.
By now, you know exactly what a medical alert device is. So let's talk about what we offer. What are the best prices for medical alert devices in the country? If you're on a fixed income, call our special medical alert hotline right now. You'll qualify for free equipment and our best price starting at $1 a day. That's it. You could have your loved one or yourself protected by the largest medical emergency response network in the country. If you need a medical alert system for your mom, your dad, you, or another loved one, call right now and start 24/7 protection for about $1 a day. With no setup fees, equipment charges, or long-term contracts. You've seen the rest. Now call Stay Safe now for our best price. 800-307-0603. 800-307-0603. 800-307-0603. That's 800-307-0603.
Hi, Tom Hartman here. My Hidden History series includes 10 timely and paramount books that break down some of the biggest issues of today. The first is The Hidden History of Guns and the Second Amendment, where I look at the real history of guns in America, had to do with slave patrols, and what we can do to limit both their lethal impact and the power of the NRA. The next is The Hidden History of the Supreme Court and the Betrayal of America, where I lay out how Ronald Reagan and Richard Nixon both committed treason to become president just to put right-wingers on the Supreme Court and how the Supreme Court paid them back. The third is The Hidden History of the War on Voting, Who Stole Your Vote and How to Get It Back, where we look at how Hillary Clinton actually won the last election and common sense things that people can do to reclaim their rights to vote. Coming this fall is The Hidden History of Monopolies, How Big Business Destroyed the American Dream. And next spring you'll see The Hidden History of Oligarchy, The Rise of the Hard Right. That's the Hidden History series by yours truly, Tom Hartman, available wherever fine books are sold. Hey, my new book, The Hidden History of the War on Voting, Who Stole Your Vote and How to Get It Back, is arriving in bookstores on February 10th. I cover how the heartbeat of democracy depends on the vote. This book goes in depth on the racist legacy of our vote and the unique struggles of women and Native Americans. In part two, there's a deep dive into the economic royalists' modern war on voting. And part three is the solutions, how we get out there and get active. Pre-order now at any fine bookstore. I'm also on the road with a book tour for The Hidden History of Voting. Join me on Monday, February 17th in San Francisco for the Berkeley Arts and Letters Series. On Wednesday, February 19th at Town Hall, Seattle. Sunday, February 23rd for the Blue State Ball in Minneapolis. On Friday, February 28th at Powell's in Portland. And Sunday, March 1st in Chicago. More information is available at TomHartmann.com. This book is the third in the series after The Hidden History of Guns and the Second Amendment and The Hidden History of the Supreme Court and the Betrayal of America. Order your copy now, The Hidden History of the War on Voting.
In the foreword to Tom Hartmann's book, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late, renowned author Joseph Chilton Pierce writes,
"To discover brilliant, innovative, creative, and original thinking is one of life's rare privileges. To discover that such a thinker has focused on the most critical of all issues facing our species is encouraging. Because The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight is a seminal work offering a viewpoint original yet ancient, I see our situation today in a new light. And because of the scope and depth of this work, I find it inspiring as well as disturbing. I rather exhausted superlative in praise of Tom Hartmann's book, The Prophet's Way, which I rightly called the most important book I've ever read. But now I find the sequel calling for equal praise, since the issue here addresses the whole of our species, and indeed all species."
The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartmann, in bookstores everywhere.
Missed my opening rant today? It's usually published over at HartmannReport.com, where you can read it and share it with your friends for free. Check it out, HartmannReport.com. Going online without ExpressVPN is like using your smartphone without a protective case. I mean, most of the time you'll probably be fine, but all it takes is one accidental drop to make you wish you had protected yourself. Every time you connect to an unencrypted network, your online data is not secure. Any hacker on the same network can steal your personal data. It doesn't take much technical knowledge to hack someone either. A smart 12-year-old can do it. And your data is valuable. Hackers can make up to $1,000 a person selling your personal information on the dark web. ExpressVPN creates a secure, encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet so your sensitive data can't be stolen. ExpressVPN is so easy to use. You just fire up the app and click one button to get protected. Works on all your devices, phones, laptops, tablets, and more. Go to expressvpn.com/Tom. to get an extra 3 months free on a one-year package. That's expressvpn.com/THOM. expressvpn.com/Tom. And welcome back. So the David Brooks and Brett Stevens. David Brooks, of course, has been from time to time he publishes an op-ed that, I mean, he published one that I shared with my kids just a couple of weeks ago. He will occasionally comment on social issues in a way that I find actually thoughtful. And yet he's been a Republican shill, you know, for years and years and years. He was championing, as was Brett Stevens, you know, the war in Iraq. Let's get those weapons of mass destruction. In fact, he didn't even acknowledge that there were weapons of mass destruction, that there weren't weapons of mass destruction in Iraq until about a little more than a decade ago, 13 years ago. And Brett Stevens was, up until very recently, a major climate change denier. And now he's basically, you know, somebody actually flew him to Greenland and said, "See, look." And so now he's saying, "Well, yeah, okay, there's climate change, but so what?" But anyhow, they wrote this column, and Muffintop One over on Daily Kos wrote just an absolutely great piece about it titled "GOP Stands Up to a Week of Heedless Progressivism." But in the New York Times on January 11th, Brooks and Stevens wrote this piece called "When the Party's Over, Where Do We Go Now?" And they're, you know, lamenting the fact that Nixon's Southern strategy, Reagan's Southern strategy, I mean, they both used it. Shout out to the Southern formerly Democratic racists and, you know, the homophobic, bigoted misogynists worked. You know, the Southern strategy worked. And Brooks and Stevens are like, you know, what happened to all the smart Republicans? You know, this is from their column. One of them wrote, "I'm loath to give up completely on Republicans only because I believe a successful democracy needs a morally healthy conservative party, one that channels conservative psychological tendencies into policies that, and listen to this, to check heedless progressivism, while engaging productively with an evolving world. I see no other plausible vehicle to advance these policies," end of quote. Right. Heedless progressivism. Like when they say that, protecting children's health from gas stoves. We now know that about 600,000 cases of asthma a year are caused in children by gas stoves in the home. And, Democrats are saying, well, why don't we do something about that? And Republicans are, how dare you? Or on January 13th, when Republicans in Missouri succeeded, Muffin Top writes, in preventing the heedless progressivism of women state legislators who wish to bear their arms. Or January 13th, Muffin Top writes, Tucker Carlson attempts to foment right-wing outrage against the heedless progressivism of M&Ms and their package showing only female M&Ms. Holy cow. He did a whole op-ed about this. How outraged he was. Where are the male M&Ms? January 16th. Well, this was Martin Luther King Day, but legislators in Mississippi and Alabama created a second state holiday on the exact same day to celebrate defeated Confederate traitor General Robert E. Lee. This was in response to the heedless progressivism of Southern American states being informed that 158 years previously they'd lost the Civil War. Or January 17th, 2023, when Republican legislators in the Wyoming State Senate introduced a bill to ban the sale of electric vehicles by 2035. Right, standing up to the heedless progressivism of consumer choice in the free market. And, of course, preserving our planet. Or January 17th, when Arizona, since 1991, Arizona has had a very popular no-excuse mail-in ballot thing. Particularly a lot of retired people use this. But in June of last year, the Arizona Republican Party filed a lawsuit to end that voting system, to bring a halt to the heedless progressivism, Muffin Top writes, of making it easy for citizens in a democracy to actually vote. Oh, my God. Or, George Santos being tapped for two committees in Congress to counter the heedless progressivism of honest, decent, law-abiding legislators. I mean, we can't have that. Or down in Florida on January 18th, when Ron DeSantis is pushing to expand and make permanent measures to stop businesses from having mask mandates. I went to my doctor's office yesterday. You have to wear a mask in there. Well, if this was Florida, they would say, no, you can't do that. Heedless progressivism. Yeah. It's incredible. I got to tell you about the Fox News and what's going on with Florida teachers. It'll take just a moment on the other side of this break, and then I will pick up your phone calls. A lot to talk about today. It's 27 minutes past the hour. This is your media support group for We the People. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
Talk media for the sane among us. Stay with us.
You watch the news. Be prepared to pay more taxes. Then, if you owe back taxes or haven't filed in a few years, get ready. The IRS, the largest collection agency in the world, will be coming after you with the power to collect taxes by any means they want to. Hey, they can freeze your bank account, your passport, even padlock your business. Oh, good times. Look, if the IRS claims you owe them $5,000 or more in back taxes and they're coming after you, don't panic. Call my friends at Get a Tax Lawyer first. Their job is to negotiate with the IRS and save you money. They're experts at it. That's all they do. And you can trust them. In some cases, they have reduced a $50,000 tax bill to less than $1,000. If you owe the IRS $5,000 or more in back taxes, call now for a free consultation.
Call 800-673-1574. 800-673-1574. 800-673-1574. That's 800-673-1574.
Do you have an old car sitting around your house? Maybe you're even paying insurance on it. Well, if you don't need that car anymore, donate it, running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. They will even come and pick it up for free and give you a receipt for a tax donation. breast cancer screening could save the life of someone you love. And right now, they need your help. They want to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And that's what your old car helps to pay for. So get your phone out and call right now to donate your car to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. Remember, they will come pick it up for free and give you a tax donation receipt. Call right now at 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435.
A progressive voice.
From Green Bay to Oshkosh and Point South, wherever you are in the Fox Valley, count on us to keep you connected, informed, and entertained. Civic Media.
ABC News, I'm Lionel Moyes. Fallout after classified documents were found in former Vice President Mike Pence's home.
Speaker Kevin McCarthy implying that President Biden did something illegal to have a Senate classified document in his home.
I do not understand how a U.S. senator can take a classified document out of a skiff if they're not stuffing it in their pants or somewhere else. I'm just not sure of that.
Speaker McCarthy has said little about the classified documents former President Trump and now former Vice President Pence had in their homes. Andy Field, ABC News, Washington.
House Speaker Kevin McCarthy is kicking two longtime Democrats off the powerful House Intelligence Committee, Representatives Adam Schiff and Eric Swalwell. New York Republican Congressman George Santos has filed amended campaign disclosures that suggest at least $625,000 in campaign loans he previously reported as self-funded might not be. They no longer include a box checked that they were personal funds from the candidate. This is ABC News.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website, civicmedia.us.
It makes me smile and you have a piano, but if you play the Peanuts theme song.
Oh,
oh my gosh.
You know he can.
Yes.
On the Devil's Radio.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love it. Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday nights, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, wouldn't it be great if life came with a remote control? You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind. Like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Or that time you forgot to roll up your windows in the car wash.
Fantastic.
Yeah, a remote control would have come in handy then. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome. But prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Life doesn't come with a remote control.
Yikes!
So you're on your own with the wasps. You have the power to take control of prediabetes. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
What grows in the forest? Trees? Sure. Know what else grows in the forest? Our imagination, our sense of wonder, and our family bonds grow too. Because when we disconnect from this and connect with this, we reconnect with each other and build family memories we will carry with us forever. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. It's easy. Just put in your zip code to find family-friendly outdoor destinations near you. You'll also find guides to free activities, games, and amazing forest facts. Give the magic of the outdoors to your kids and reconnect with your family. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. That's discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
I just created an environment where they taught themselves, and all I had to do was be there.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Yeah.
Share the Tom Hartman Program with your friends. Our podcast, The Hartman Report, is absolutely free and available wherever fine podcasts are available. And the entire three-hour podcast is available over at TomHartman.com. It's too much. 34 minutes past the hour. Welcome back. Down in Florida, Manatee County teachers have been told to cover up all the books in their classroom libraries or risk felony prosecution because Ron DeSantis is running for president. Seriously, my heart is broken for Florida students today as I am forced to pack up my classroom library, wrote one Manatee teacher on Facebook. Another called it a travesty to education. The upcoming Manatee County School Board meeting, they prepared materials for that, including a 21-point list of procedures to ensure the classroom libraries comply with the new rules. DeSantis is threatening felony prosecution for any teacher who is found with a book in their classroom library that doesn't comport with his standards, which are vague and confusing. As a result, one Manatee teacher reported being forced to take Sneezy the Snowman and Dragon's Love Tacos off the shelves pending review. Other teachers fearing criminal liability, this is from popular.info, are telling students not to bring in unvetted books from home. Manatee County has 64 public schools, 3,000 teachers, many of whom maintain these libraries in their classrooms. Meanwhile, a new television network is rolling out. It is called Americano Media, so far. They claim that they intend to become the Fox News of Spanish-speaking America. They have hired more than, this is according to a press release from Americano Media, quote, they have hired more than 80 Latino journalists and producers, are expanding their radio presence to television, and by the end of the year, we'll have studios in Miami, Las Vegas, and D.C., with reporters covering the White House, Congress, and embedded in 2024 presidential campaigns. This month, Americano is launching a $20 million marketing campaign to draw in new viewers. There is no progressive equivalent. It's just, you know, once again, big money is buying opinions. It's just incredible. And finally, you know, surely it's a coincidence, right, that Oleg Deripaska, the guy who, back when Mitch McConnell was running for re-election, came out and said, I'll give you $200 million to build a $1.7 billion aluminum plant in Kentucky, and you can brag about it in your commercials, which he did. Rusal is the aluminum company. In fact, McConnell helped get the sanctions lifted that Obama had put into place so that this could happen. The company has now pulled out of Kentucky because it was a bad bet in the first place. This was just a gift to Mitch McConnell to help him get reelected. In fact, Deripaska's partner has put more than $3.5 million into Mitch McConnell's super PAC. But Deripaska also was apparently employing Charles McGonigal, who was the head FBI agent in the New York office in charge of counterintelligence. And he's the guy who apparently leaked to Rudy Giuliani during the 2016 campaign the fact that that Hillary's emails had shown up on Anthony Weiner's laptop. And that was what forced Comey's hand. The fact that this leak was going to come out of the New York office, that's what forced Comey's hand to make the announcement that he was investigating Clinton in the weeks before the election, that according to most survey companies tell us shaved about 3 points off Clinton's 3 million vote victory in that election in 2016, although she lost the Electoral College. She would have actually won the Electoral College had it not been for Comey doing that. And it looks like the reason Comey did that is because this particular FBI agent in New York, who was in the employ of the Russians, was engineering this leak, that there was just this widespread hatred of Hillary Clinton in the New York FBI office, where the head guy was being paid by Russian oligarchs during the 2016 campaign. And he was working with Paul Manafort, who was also being paid by Russian oligarchs, to help to put, you know, to specifically to damage America.
it's just breathtaking. The whole thing is just breathtaking. Anyhow, picking up your phone calls here, 39 minutes past the hour, Phil in Bend, Oregon. Hey, Phil, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Can I make a comment first?
Phil, can you get your mouth closer to the microphone, please?
Can you hear me now?
I can, yes.
Can I make a comment first before we talk about death with dignity? I know your dad was a Republican, and you said many nice things about Eisenhower. And I grew up in Illinois, and my dad was an avid Adlai Stevenson supporter. So when you talk about, I say nice things about Eisenhower, my brain does like a Scooby-Doo thing, you know?
I'm sorry, Phil. You know, I'm sure I would have been supporting Stevenson, too, back in the day. But anyhow, so death with dignity is what you called about.
Yeah, my sister, it's about 2 years ago now, suffered from pulmonary fibrosis, which is a horrible disease. And she's a retired Army nurse, and she went through the whole thing, you know, did it here in Oregon, which is great. And I'm so glad, because she just got to the point where, it was just horrible. And death with dignity was a godsend.
She was prescribed the medication, and she used it to end her life.
Yes, exactly.
Did she do it? You read stories in the paper here in Oregon about people who have gathered their family and friends around their bedside when they drink the stuff. Did your sister do that, or did she just do it all along?
No, we did it. We had a Zoom thing with all our family. We have family all over the country, so. Mm-hmm. And some here, and we did it all together. It was
wow.
The only hard part for me was the hospice nurse has the elixir, you know, to mix up, and she hands it to me and says, "I can't mix this up. You have to," which was kind of tough, you know.
Yeah.
You know, mixing that up and giving it to your sister, but it was so much. You know, I lived with her. So I saw what was going on every day, and as she got worse and worse.
Right.
And it's just a godsend.
Yeah.
I highly recommend that if something like pulmonary fibrosis or some horrible disease, do it.
Yeah,
go ahead with it.
Phil, thank you. Thank you for sharing that story with us. I appreciate it. Mary in Glen Ellen, Illinois. Hey, Mary, what's on your mind today?
Hey, hi, Tom. Talking about death with dignity and how my heart goes out to the woman in Florida. Just is appalling.
I had tears in my eyes as I was writing this piece yesterday afternoon, just reading her story.
It's just awful. But my dad died at 95 a few weeks ago of dementia. And he lived in a memory care facility that cost $10,000 a month. And he got minimal care and minimal staffing. And this was considered a really good place. You know, I was there often, so I could see the deficiencies for him and others. But he had no quality of life for a year, at least, as he started deteriorating. And, you know, my son and I, you know, the last week, and really he was just left there to starve to death. That's what we had to wait for.
Mm-hmm.
And at 95, you know, I just think it's appalling. My son, we were actually thinking, if he didn't go soon, how could we get drugs to help him go peacefully? I mean, isn't that awful that I would have to think of doing that to help my father not to have to suffer like this?
And that you could then spend the rest of your life in prison for doing it.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? We would probably have done it if it lasted too long.
Yeah.
And the hospice nurse, they keep them comfortable. But unless they're home, there's no way that you can actually use more morphine than you should to let them go. I mean, there's just too much liability now.
Right.
But I really believe there's so much money and profit involved in keeping these people alive in these places where they are just really living, you know, they're just shells of people.
Yeah.
And it's heartbreaking to watch. And I really think it's all about profit to keep, you know, in these kind of places. So
I think that's
I'm
a factor.
That he passed.
I'm sorry. pardon my interruption. Susan, finish your thought.
No. Yeah, I'm just grateful that he passed. And I also believe this all has to do with your Christian background, feeling like, you know, there's no way you can do this or help someone, you're going to, you know, go to hell. But, you know, I don't believe that anymore. I don't believe that. I would have helped him. And I told my kids, I said, get me the cocktail. I'm going to put it up in my closet. Hopefully I won't think it's something else. Take it. But it's like they won't ever allow it here, I'm sure.
Yeah. Which is unfortunate.
Because there's probably just too much liability, but that I don't want to go like this.
Yeah.
You know, when you watch someone die like this, you don't want that for yourself. So thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Wanted to share that with you.
Thank you, Mary, for sharing your story. It's a tough one, but thank you very much. Susan in Caldwell, Idaho. Hey, Susan, what's up?
Hey, I want to extend my condolences to Mary as a victim of the American Health Program. I'm a 40-year RN who's practiced in my Boise Valley for 30 years, extending from Eastern Oregon over to the Air Force Base and Mountain Home, between the hospitals and the skilled nursing, and I have experienced the hospice hustle for 30-odd years. I want to direct your listeners to the ProPublica expose that was the cover story of the December 5th New Yorker. ProPublica published it November 28th, How the Hospice Movement Became a For-Profit Hustle. You can find it for free on Google easily. And I want to tell you, these people do not care for those people. You know, if you're at home, you're lucky if they will manage your pain medication, but your family is taking care of that person 24/7. If they're really debilitated, they go into skilled nursing, where the hospice will come and visit them 3 times a week and take their blood pressure. What the skilled nursing is already done, they will prescribe their pain medicine, which the skilled nursing is administering. But the skilled nursing, one nurse and one CNA with 25 other patients, cannot possibly offer complete end-of-life care. I don't know of one hospice agency in this valley that will come when a person is actively dying the last day or two of their life, when the nurses and doctors tell the hospice they are actively dying. They will not come and be with them. And there's no way anybody who's taking care of 24 other people can be with that poor person. Now, my family history, hospice did help my mother die 25 years ago in our home. My sister and I used their services to provide her adequate pain medication. Fortunately, my mother was able to die in my sister's arms while my father was in the shower. That is the only thing I would give them credit for. It is a for-profit hustle when they get non-profit tax breaks. Everybody go read ProPublica November 28th, 2022, please.
Okay. Susan, thank you. Thanks for the testimony from the front lines. It's a tough one. Thank you. We had hospice when my father died in his home. And I was there, you know, along with my three brothers. It was and their wives. It was a challenge, but it was, well, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Back with your calls here on the Tom Hartman program. Helping you win the water cooler wars. We'll be right back. Explore the mighty Mississippi River with American Cruise Lines. On this amazing journey, you'll discover Civil War history you've only read about. Savor delicious Cajun cuisine in New Orleans and experience the roots of rock and roll firsthand in Memphis aboard the newest fleet of American riverboats. Relax on your private balcony, taking in the scenery as the crew provides the highest level of personalized service. Request your free cruise guide today at AmericanCruiseLines.com. That's AmericanCruiseLines.com. Every weekday, I write a new original article about one of the critical issues of our day and publish it on our website, HartmanReport.com. I write these entirely by myself, so you're getting my unvarnished thoughts on national and world events. There's no advertising, and you can get them every single weekday in your email at no charge whatsoever. or just read them for free with no ads by going to HartmanReport.com. I cover topics from climate to Congress to politics to the law, as well as social and health issues. You can find it all at HartmanReport.com.
What can the wisdom of the 19th century provide for you? Turn back the clock with White House correspondent Ellen Ratner and renowned spiritualist Anne Gaiman to find out. In the new book, Self-Empowerment, 9 Things the 19th Century Can Teach Us About Living in the 21st, they shed light on history's greatest spiritual minds. Take a journey into history and healing with the masters of the 19th century as your guide. Self-Empowerment, 9 Things the 19th Century Can Teach Us About Living in the 21st, available through Changing Lives Press at selfempowermentbook.com.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a... goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
In the war-torn areas of Southern Sudan, one goat can make the difference between life and death. Visit goatsfortheoldgoat.org.
What can the wisdom of the 19th century provide for you? Turn back the clock with White House correspondent Ellen Ratner and renowned spiritualist Anne Gaiman to find out. In the new book, Self-Empowerment, 9 Things the 19th Century Can Teach Us About Living in the 21st, they shed light on history's greatest spiritual minds. Take a journey into history and healing with the masters of the 19th century as your guide. Self-Empowerment, 9 Things the 19th Century Can Teach Us About Living in the 21st, available through Changing Lives Press at selfempowermentbook.com.
One goat can make the difference between nourishment and hunger. One goat can make the difference between poverty and sustained income. In the war-torn areas of Southern Sudan, one goat can make the difference between life and death. Find out how you can help. Visit goatsfortheoldgoat.org. That's goats, F-O-R, theoldgoat.org. Fighting hunger, one goat at a time.
Attention floor buyers. The 6th annual fall flooring yard sale's going on now at Lumber Liquidators. Get high quality flooring at low yard sale prices, like Woodlook waterproof floors from just 39 cents. All Dream Home X2O water resistant laminate is on sale. Prefinished hardwood is starting at $149. Get more deals in store while supplies last. Plus special project financing and professional installation with Install Plus. Hurry, visit LumberLiquidators.com to find the Lumber Liquidators store near you today.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. Choosing the right mortgage lender involves much more than just a rate. Quicken Loans has earned 11 J.D. Power Awards for client satisfaction. And we invented Rocket Mortgage, a simpler, hassle-free way to get a mortgage completely online. No one else has anything like it. So choose Quicken Loans, America's number one online lender. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Equal housing lender, NMLS number 3030.
Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot. Finding the gift that he'll actually like can feel impossible. Luckily, mancrates.com is perfect for his birthday, anniversary, or any occasion. Mancrates.com has hundreds of totally unique gifts he's going to love. Like, you know, put this one on my list, the whiskey appreciation crate with a personalized decanter, matching tumblers, ice sphere molds, and more. Or the Grillmaster crate featuring a brass knuckle meat tenderizer and cast iron smoker box. Mancrates.com packs his gift in unforgettable experiences like sealed crates he gets to open with a crowbar. Personalization is free, and every gift comes with a full satisfaction guarantee. And I can get you 15% off on your next gift from mancrates.com. Just use that code RADIO15, R-A-D-I-O-1-5, RADIO15, at mancrates.com to save 15% on his perfect gift. That's RADIO15 at mancrates.com. 53 minutes past the hour. Welcome back, Ziggy in Oneonta, New York. Hey, Ziggy, what's up?
Hi, Tom. I have a Death with Dignity story, actually. I was the health proxy for both my mother and my father at the end of their lives. with my mother, she had been on dialysis for a few years. And one day the doctor said to me, if you don't bring her back, we will not hold you responsible. And I talked to her when she had a lucid moment and asked her what she wanted me to do. And she wanted to fight. She wanted to keep on. Mm-hmm. So we did it. Mm-hmm. And eventually she died at home in bed, and it was beautiful. So that worked out fine.
Yeah.
My father, a few years later, was having heart problems, and he was miserable. And a couple of months before he passed away, he confided to me, and he was very serious about this, that he wanted me to kill him.
Whoa.
And I said, Dad, I can't do that.
That's a horrible response.
You know, I can't do that. Yeah, and I said, you know, I'll go to jail for my whole life. Yeah. And even though my father was a good man and very, you know, he loved us kids, you know, mm-hmm. he became very upset with me because he said, I don't care. I'm in so much pain. Just put me out of my misery. And, you know, the doctors wouldn't allow it. And he never forgave me, you know, mm-hmm. before he passed away. You know, he was upset that I didn't do it because his whole life he always said, don't let me suffer at the end.
Yeah.
And there was nothing else I could do, you know.
I'll just give you one other story.
One other story that has nothing to do with that, but I think it kind of follows it. I have a friend who got cancer, knew he was going to die, and he found the solution for him was to become a gun victim statistic.
Right. So he shot himself. Yeah. That's one of the most common forms of suicide in America now because guns are so easy to get and it's instantaneous in most cases. Ziggy, thank you for sharing your story. It's a tough one, but thank you very much. Andy in Hoosick Falls, New York. Hey, Andy, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Good to talk to you. My mother just was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer a month ago.
Ouch.
And she had breast cancer 23 years ago. So she's had a quality of life since then, but it came back in full force. And we're actually lucky that she got into hospice in a way.
Mm-hmm.
My sister-in-law is caring for her. She'll be administering the medicine because she just did it with her father. But the thing is that she only had basic Medicare, so no prescription.
Mm-hmm.
And also she didn't really have any financial planning. So if she wound up in a nursing care facility, they would have wiped her out financially.
Oh, geez.
So hospice wound up being basically the only viable option. And she opted into not receiving any care. The oncologist had suggested a medication for $15,000 a month.
Whoa.
And then told her she could apply for the Medicare prescription drug program. And I'm like, you're lying to us because she's already got a pre-existing condition. She'll never get that now that she's been diagnosed.
Right.
So we didn't trust them. She opted into the best case scenario of quality of life, which for her was hospice. But here's the problem. If the Republicans really want to cut Medicare, this should be an option. This should be an option, end-of-life quality care, instead of stringing people along and bankrupting them.
Yeah, I get it, Andy.
And hitting Medicare.
Yeah, right. I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you. I'm so sorry to hear about your mother. Andy, thank you for the call. amazing. We'll be right back. Did Joe Manchin just endorse something to fix Social Security?
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 877-247-1581.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
That was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
You let him try violin because you love him. And if you love him that much, love him enough to make sure he's buckled up and in the back seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.